Simply Authentic is the podcast where realtors and referral partners get the conversations they actually want to hear. I'm Crystal Forbes with Great American Title, a family-owned and operated title company with over 30 years serving the real estate community. We provide title and escrow services for both Missouri and Kansas with locations throughout Southwest Missouri. We focus on providing exceptional customer service and trustworthy, reliable title insurance coverage. Our relationships with other industry professionals are why we are able to make dreams come true one closing at a time. Great American Title is proud to sponsor the Simply Authentic podcast, bringing the most relevant, real, and sometimes challenging conversations that help all of us get better. Tune in, subscribe, and let's keep this industry moving forward together. Simply Authentic, recorded at the Gershman Mortgage Studios, available wherever you get your podcast.
Welcome to the Simply Authentic podcast with Angie and Tanya. We are real estate pros, entrepreneurs, leadership gurus, and community enthusiasts. Our passion is sharing our experiences to enrich the lives of others. We hope to inspire you to live authentically. Welcome back to the Simply Authentic podcast. I'm Angie Mullings.
And I'm Tanya Murfin. And today we have a guest that is online with us, and her name is Stacy Bruce, and she is a friend of ours and a licensed real estate agent and also a licensed appraiser. And she used to work here around our parts here in Southwest Missouri, and she has moved to Florida. So we're going to ask her a line of questions that are related to real estate and appraising in Florida. And also, she lives in a sea of the VRBO world and the nightly rentals. So we're going to find out some information about that as well. So welcome, Stacy.
Welcome.
Thank you.
This so tell special. Yeah, we're excited to have you on and to see your face.
Yes.
Thank you.
So tell us a little bit about yourself and your background and how you got from working in Missouri to Florida.
Oh my gosh. My real estate career, I was thinking about this earlier, started at the ripe old age of 20 in Dallas, Texas.
Oh,
and
wow.
Real estate was never my plan. So I moved down there and didn't know anyone and went to work at a small boutique agency that was the aunt and uncle of someone I went to high school with. And so they took me under their wing. He was a proper Texan. He did his best to straighten out my grammar, my grammar. And it was the 80s. So helped me get rid of my sparkly lipstick and, you know, all that, try to turn me into a good proper Texan girl. And it was a great experience. So that was my first taste of real estate. I loved it. What I loved most about it is it was a small office in a really beautiful area. So it was very specific, you know, the clientele, and it was a lot of fun. But I ended up in property management, leasing apartments, moved back to Missouri. So I'm back in Springfield at this point. I worked for the Wooten Company for a while doing leasing. And I love that. And while I was doing that, I got my real estate license and ended up working with Max Perryman at Max.
Yeah.
And that was in 1993. And I was working as his assistant, and it wasn't great because I wasn't a great assistant. And Max was awesome. Max was amazing. Yeah. And he was amazing because he recognized that I would be better in sales.
Mm-hmm.
And so he helped me make that transition from being his assistant to going into sales. So that happened in late 93. And I mean, it was booming then and everything was going great. And it was some of the best years of my life, really. Real estate was so much fun. And we just had a blast. And then I find out I'm having my first child in 97, towards the end of 97. So a friend of mine was working for a local appraiser and she liked it. And I felt like that would be a good move for me to be able to stay in real estate in a way that made sense being a mom. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So my son Jack was born in 98. And so I started training as an appraiser while I was pregnant with him as a way to be able to manage motherhood and working and a schedule that didn't require nights and weekends and things like that. And so that's really where the appraisal part all began. But I always kept my hand in real estate. There was always, that was always woven in as far as the sales part. Sure. Into my experience, and it worked out great. And so that lasted until I raised two boys doing that and empty nested in around 2020, 2021, and moved here in 22.
Wow. Yeah. Well, you have a lot of longevity in the business, mm-hmm. probably about as long as you, mm-hmm. Angie, right? Mm-hmm.
A little bit longer. Yeah. And in several different facets of the industry. Right. So I think it'd be interesting, you know, for our audience, Stacy, not everyone is a realtor that's listening. So let's talk to them about, just go in depth a little bit on property management. Did you do that in Dallas as well as in Springfield?
I did that in Dallas. Yeah.
Okay.
That's
in
where
Dallas.
That started. So I got both there. I worked for the real estate office and I worked in property management leasing. So when you're in a major city, I mean, that's a really great place to start because you can live on site. You learn about contracts, customer service, taking care of your client, maintenance. You know, that's always doing the maintenance, but you're definitely the first touch as far as getting that handled, you know, and taken care of. So that was a really, really good education. And what I loved most about that job was dealing and having the residents around all the time. Mm-hmm. I really liked the personal contact and the people and just the lifestyle. Because, I mean, they chose to live there for a reason, for what you provide. Mm-hmm. And to be able to maintain that for them. And then moving back to Springfield and going to work for the Wooten Company, I was at Pebble Creek Apartments, which is still there, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
And so they had, still do, I assume, a nice little clubhouse. And we would have donuts for the residents every Saturday morning. So we switch off Saturdays. Whoever was working, we'd alternate Saturdays. So Saturday morning was donut day. And so we would have the donuts and the juice and everything. And residents would come in and mix and mingle. Some would stay. Some would go grab a donut, some orange juice. And it was a lot of fun. And I love that hospitality aspect of that.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of people in property management in our area obviously are doing single residents. They're working on behalf of owners who are investors. And so it's a little different than being in an apartment complex. And most of us choose to either do property management or not to do property management. And we do it in my company in our Branson market, but not in Springfield. So it's just a little different take on just a little different avenue as far as real estate goes.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. You see your customers turn over fast. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not over years, it's over months.
Yes.
And definitely more immediate concerns and ongoing.
Yeah.
So as we move into finding out what real estate is like in Florida, tell us about the market right now, whether you're wearing your realtor hat or your appraiser hat. Okay. Tell us about your market right now, and then we can share what our market's like. Okay. And then we want to hear about appraising in Florida and the differences that you have found in, well, and selling real estate. Like, what are the biggest differences?
Well, okay, starting with the real estate market, I mean, it's soft right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you know, we're not insulated the way the Midwest is insulated, you know, and your swings aren't as broad as ours can be. So when it's good here, it's really, really good.
Yeah.
And when it's soft, it's really, really soft. And so it can be extreme. Like Missouri weather.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And what part of Florida are you in? Sorry, what part of the state are you in?
Oh, I'm in Santa Rosa Beach, which is near Destin. I'm riding between Destin and Panama City Beach.
Okay.
Okay.
But it's soft right now. It's not that properties aren't selling. They are. But it's correcting. So in 21, 22, there were properties selling for double what people purchased them for within a 5-year time period.
Yeah. Right.
You know, and so that now is correcting itself.
Yeah.
So we're not seeing prices like slide way back. As a matter of fact, price reductions aren't selling houses, which is very interesting. I've never seen that in my career. Like, if you want to sell a house, if you really need to get out, reduce it to where it's attractive enough that somebody's going to want to get it. You know, they're going to want to buy it. That's not working for us.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
And I would say our market is soft as well. If we're using that word to describe it, we've got more days on market than we had last year, in my opinion. And it just depends on what realtor you talk to. Mm-hmm. You know, if I talk to Angie on any given week, she might say, oh, I've been slammed this week. Mm-hmm. I've been slow for a few weeks. And I talked to two lenders last week that said they have never felt it this slow. So I think it, you know, it is a little soft across all areas, but I agree with you. I think we're still correcting. 23 and 24 were a correction year, and they weren't, you know, even half as busy as what the previous years had been during the COVID years. But I think this year too is going to be a correcting year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, if you think about it, it would be the natural, a healthy thing to do.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
Is there really something wrong? Probably. I mean, no.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
We're not enjoying it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, at all. But it needs to happen.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's soft here. We're not seeing a massive foreclosures or anything.
Right.
Us either. Like that. Everyone seems to be in a holding pattern.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Buyers in a holding pattern. There are plenty of people waiting in the wings. So when things do break open, it's liable to be crazy.
Mm-hmm. Agree.
Oh, I agree. And this weekend I was out showing property and my clients were in from out of state and we went and looked and they said, okay, we're going to go have lunch. And we've got 3 or 4 properties we're pretty interested in. And they decided whittle that down to 2. They were ready to make an offer on either one of them. And by the time they called me over lunch, to tell me which one, both of them had multiple offers on it. Mm-hmm. So, and that's in our average price range because our average price range right now is 280, 285, something like that. And these were homes that were just under 300. So that is still going on, but it's not going on as prevalently, obviously, as it did after COVID. So what's your average price of home there where you are, Stacy?
That's a tough one.
Is it? Yeah.
That is a really tough one. Well, I was doing an appraisal the other day in the house. I think it was selling for $885, but it was in a golf course community where some of the homes are waterfront on the bay.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And so those might be at $5
million.
Yeah. So gotcha. When I do what the form wants me to do, which is say, you know, the values of that subdivision or that neighborhood, they're also more modest homes in the same subdivision. Like within a half a mile, that might be in the 600 mark, 500 mark. And then we've got 5 million, which you could just walk to the house. So it's really hard to say.
Interesting.
And Tanya and I have talked about like the different kind of buyers and sellers that we have here. And we've got primary residence. That's me. I live in a neighborhood where we all live here full time. There's no short-term rentals, no suburbs, nothing like that. Then you've got the people that buy second homes here and they aren't going to be in a neighborhood like mine unless they plan to live here more than 6 months.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So no one can live in their homes here less than 6 months at a time.
Gotcha.
In my subdivision. And then you've got the vacation rentals. And so, and then you've got houses on the beach And then you've got houses on the bay. And then you've got the ones in between. And you can have two houses identical. One's on one side of the street and one's on the other side. And you could throw rocks at them. And they could be $500,000 apart.
Or wow, wow.
Because of the price of land. So it's just really hard to say. Mm-hmm. It's like the average price within what segment.
Right. Mm, gotcha.
Yeah, I can see why that would be a much harder question to answer because there's too many variables.
Mm-hmm. So many variables.
Yeah.
And they're so different.
Yes.
They're so different. It's like if you put the Springfield market and the Lake market, if you just lumped them together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And those are two totally different markets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Different buyers, different behaviors, different.
Yes.
You know, even, I don't know if the buying and selling seasons are different there, but even that can vary here, not so much with the weather, but, you know, vacation rentals are going to sell better when they're vacant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So when they're booked up in May, June, and July, you might not even be able to get inside one.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
If they're booked solid. So you wait. And then, so a lot of those turnovers as far as sales will happen, you know, in the off season, not always. Mm-hmm. People still want to buy houses, you know, in summer and, you know, peak season. Mm-hmm. But there's so many different nuances here. A lot of moving parts.
Mm-hmm. Stacy, we're going to talk about that VRBO market and what that's like, but we're going to take a short break to hear a word from our sponsors.
Real talk, real industry insights. Simply Authentic is the podcast where realtors and referral partners get the conversations they actually want to hear. I'm Jack Langley at Gershman Mortgage. We've been helping home buyers and real estate professionals for over 70 years, and we know that success just isn't about transactions. It's about knowledge, relationships, and having the right tools to grow. That's why we're proud to host Simply Authentic in our studio, bringing you the most relevant, real, and sometimes challenging conversations that help us all get better. Tune in, subscribe, and let's keep this industry moving forward together. Simply Authentic, recorded at the Gershman Mortgage Studios, available wherever you get your podcast.
Okay, we're back. So Stacy Bruce is with us today, if you just tuned in, and she lives in the Santa Rosa Beach area, which is where I like to vacation. And so I'm familiar with a lot of the places that you work in, Stacy. One of my questions is how do you navigate as a realtor and an appraiser? You can, you know, tell us that as well, but how do you navigate that VRBO market? You were just saying before the break that it's better in those rental houses that are for sale or condos that are for sale if they're vacant. Tell us the other nuances of just things you've learned about either owning a VRBO, like purchasing a VRBO down there, and or selling one.
So a lot of questions there. If I were to buy a vacation rental now, I think most people, especially if they haven't purchased one here, think that they're going to get a better return for properties on the beach, you know, and walkable. And that is true, but you will pay for that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we have a lot of properties here that aren't on the beach that also rent very well, that cost a lot less.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's nice. And everyone wants a different experience. And so I've been dipping my toe into that recently. I have two friends that work in property management here, and I've been helping them with a few of their summer turnovers and things like that. We're in peak season. June and July are absolutely the best times. So it's interesting. It's interesting to be a part of it on that end now.
Yeah, I bet.
Working with a buyer that wants to have a vacation rental is one thing. Being on the side of the property management company is entirely different. Mm-hmm. But what I'm seeing as a former frequent guest, you know, as you know, here before I moved, so I came down to visit and stay several times. I stayed in some different areas, so I experienced it as a guest, and then working on it now. being as competitive as the real estate market is, and even the vacation rentals are not as busy as it was 2 or 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. I would say the most important thing for anyone that's buying a property like that is to make sure you have a property management company that is going to give mm-hmm. your guest a really good experience. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like a 5-star experience. That doesn't mean that the property has to be a 5-star property. It could be the most basic little simple place, but make sure your guest gets a 5-star experience from yeah. the time they walk in the door and the time they leave. That's what I would focus on if I were purchasing a property. The percentages charged vary. 13-14% up to 20%. Some provide linens, some have you provide your own linens, a lot of different little variations there. Mm-hmm. I definitely would not shop a property management company on price. I would shop them on service.
Mm-hmm. That's true in any business that you're in, right? Right now, people are selective about who they choose to do business with. There's a lot of competition out there in every different type of market. So you have to look at that. And I just booked a VRBO for the Outer Banks, North Carolina. And you're right. You could tell that the ones that were on the ocean side versus on the bay side, they were more expensive, but I don't have to be on the ocean side. I can be on the bay side. And that was fine with me. You're right. It depends on what experience you're looking for. And also, what is the ease to book that? You know, what's the website like? How easy is it for me to get answers to questions? Because I had a few and I was finding that some people got back to me right away. Other people, it took a day or two. And so that prompt attention to the potential customer is, I think, vital, because I'm going to move on down the road. I think I pulled up 30 different VRBOs that fit my criteria. So I had my choice. And I think you're right. I was a little surprised to see that there was so many options that they weren't all booked up right now. Hmm. And I think you're absolutely right when it comes to the choices that people are making. It comes down to service in so many regards.
Yeah. I mean, there's a quote, I won't say it exactly, but people don't remember what you said, they remember how you made them feel.
Right.
That.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the same goes with the property. And yeah. I don't know about you guys, but I remember vacations growing up. I get goosebumps mm-hmm. when I think about it, because we didn't have them every year or multiple right. times a year. So right. when we did go, it was really special. Mm-hmm. I remember what it was like when we opened the door to our little motel, hotel, house, whatever it was at that time. Mm-hmm. I remember everything. I can remember how they smelled.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, how a scent will bring back
yes.
memory, just like a song can. Mm-hmm. And so what we don't know is that guest coming for the only vacation they've ever had as a family ever?
True. Mm-hmm.
We don't know. We don't know what the occasion is for that vacation. And so when they open that door, you want them to have an experience that's going to be memorable in the best way. And when that unit or house or whatever it is greets you, like literally greets you, you know, with the mm-hmm. heartbeat energy of the space, mm-hmm. people remember that, and it adds an element to their overall memory that they might not be able to put their thumb on, but it has a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. you know, is it clean? You know, are there mm-hmm. little extra touches that you can tell that they're glad you're a guest. They're glad that you're here.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, it's not a big corporate company that owns the property. It's an individual. It could be mm-hmm. either one of you mm-hmm. that own that house, and you want to know that the people that are staying in it, like you're a virtual hostess, are going to have the best time.
Right.
Best,
yeah.
Best memory. So getting a company that shares that, value mm-hmm. right with you is really important if that's yeah. what you want. And that's what brings people back year after year. A lot of people will have a great experience in a property and will immediately book it for the next year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're right.
Mm-hmm. But this was great. We're going to come back next year.
Right.
They don't even look somewhere else.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stacy, do you know, or have you heard, or what's your experience so far? How long do owners typically own their VRBOs down there?
I don't know that number.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure it's different.
Yeah.
For everybody's experience, just like our experiences are all different at all the VRBOs we visited.
Yeah.
I'm sure that owner's experience is completely different as well.
Well, I think if the owner is having a great experience owning it, unless it's strategic moves that they're making to sell their property, if they're having a great experience as an owner, they're more likely to hang on to the property.
Right.
Or if local legislation doesn't get in the way. We handle VRBOs out of my Hollister office, and all of the fees went up this year. Everything that the city has, it went up. And so we have two or three that have decided to sell because they've owned them for 10 plus years and they just don't want to deal with all the new legislation, the new requirements, all of that. And so I think it depends on how inviting your area is. And I'm sure where you are, Stacy, that's been going on for a long time. So the legislation and the requirements may have settled down, but I think it makes a big difference.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It does. I mean, there are a lot of hoops, that have to be jumped through just to get a property ready to where you can rent it. And where I live, we're two counties, basically. Destin is going to be on the Okaloosa side, Miramar, Santa Rosa, 30A. Mm-hmm. Then we're in Walton County. So those two counties each have different ways of doing things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure.
A lot of experience in Okaloosa on that end, but
yeah,
it's definitely something to look at.
And so what about appraisals? When you came down there and got involved in appraising, what's different, if anything, about appraising?
I felt like I was a newbie again.
Yeah, I bet.
I was concerned. So for instance, if I'm appraising a property on the water, let's say on the Bayside, and I'm looking at a comparable sale, and it's also on the Bayside, but in a channel, the channels have deep water. Mm-hmm. The properties on the bay do not. It's very shallow for a long period of time. Mm-hmm. So if you own a boat, you might live on a bay and have a beautiful dock and a beautiful everything and a big, an expansive view and beautiful sunsets that we have on the bay. But certain months of the year, you can't get your boat out because the water's so deep. But if you live inside, like in more protected water, in a bayou or a channel, you're going to see houses across from you that also have boat docks, but those are deep water. So your boat can get in and out all the time. So as an appraiser, I have to determine for that particular property, is there a difference? Is the buyer going to pay more or less because this is in deep water or shallow, or is it a wash? And it can vary from property to property. So that's one thing that I didn't have to, think about in Missouri. And I didn't do a lot of lake property in Missouri. So lakefront, waterfront, anything like that was something I had to learn.
Gotcha.
And again, the value of a property that's on the south sidewalk of 30A and on the north sidewalk of 30A is going to be vastly different, even though you can throw a rock,
True.
Just because one would have to cross the street to get to the beach.
Mm-hmm.
The other one you don't.
Yeah. Yeah. And figuring those things out. So how does a new appraiser figure out the value of that, of those two examples you just gave?
Yeah. Appraisal is not as scientific as we would like for it to be. So we do our best, but, I had a broker's license in Missouri. So when I came to Florida, I got a broker's license here. So I was able to hold my own license if I wanted to. Mm-hmm. I joined a real estate office here in town for that purpose. So I would have a tribe of people, a broker that was very knowledgeable, that I could ask those questions to, when they came up. So they're not appraisers, but it helps me understand the market better. Mm-hmm. And it gave me a resource to hear, about those nuances. I've not dipped into condos as much on the appraisal end, but, if we've got a view, a 25% view of the Gulf versus 100% view, what's the difference? Yeah. It's the same with anything. You look at previous sales and sort it out and try to spot trends the best you can.
Yeah.
As an appraiser, my way of doing that is adding more information that I'm required to, because when I do that, then I can spot trends more easily.
Yeah.
So yeah. If I'm required to use 3 comps, sometimes I'll use 6.
Got it. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
More, I'd rather have more information always.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And for me, I can see all of those and then like, see, okay, I see a trend here, here, and here. So I'm going to take this one out. I'm going to put these two together. And then now where am I? And then I can usually start to figure it out that way. It takes more time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Regarding appraisals, I was reading an Inman article this morning talking about the new appraisal changes coming in September. Can you speak to what that's going to be? And is it nationwide, I'm assuming?
Yeah, it's nationwide. It's there's a new appraisal forms and I am going to sign up for that class.
TBD.
Yeah.
TBD. Yeah. Yeah. I'll be ready.
Yes. You know, absolutely.
When you've done this for so long, it's been 27 years for me. And my first day of appraisal working for Rich Caraway at Great Southern Bank, he was a staff appraiser at the time downtown. And, you know, I'm pregnant and, you know, don't know what the future holds. You could never have told me I would be doing this for 27 years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I didn't hate it, but I'm like, yeah, but there's still other stuff I want to do, you know? But after 27 years, you've seen some changes.
Yeah.
So when I started doing it, we were putting the appraisal form into a typewriter and doing our best to get the box, the X, the little check box, you know, so we had to line it up just right. And then the photos went to the 1 hour photo, and then you always had glue sticks. So we glue stickers on, and then we photocopied maps, and we had stickers that would have little arrows that would point to where the houses were on the maps. I'm really enjoying myself. So if you've been that far back, you've seen a few things happen.
Yes.
And you don't get quite as excited about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's changed so much since then. It's like, okay, we got another change. Okay.
Yeah. You're right.
Yeah.
It's true.
Along with everybody else. And even after those changes, people still don't do it all the same. I mean, we have.
True. Yeah.
We have people that watch us and we have guidelines and things that we have to abide by.
Yeah.
Then outside those guidelines, everyone has their style and their interpretation of the information and how they fill out the form.
Yeah. You know, we've had some struggles here with regard to appraisals. I mean, you always do. It's an opinion of value, right? And everybody's got an opinion. But, you know, I feel like after we lost a lot of appraisers because of the 2007 to 2012 timeframe, and everything for you guys changed at that point. And unfortunately, a lot of our appraisers got out of the business. So long-term appraisers got out. And now I think we're seeing the result of that we are struggling to find people who have seen the ups and downs, like you've talked about, who understand that, you know, you need to find trends, that it's not just enough to find 3 comps, that if there's something out there that is not status quo, that you know, you're appraising something that's a little different, you have to go beyond what's expected, right? So that you can understand what the trends are and therefore do a better job of appraising that property. I just feel like we're at the mercy of a lot of appraisers who haven't been doing this very long, who don't have a lot of experience, and just frankly don't have the knowledge that like you have.
Well, in their defense, it's really hard to find someone that wants to train appraisers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so going through the classes and getting the license, that's one step. Mm-hmm. And then beyond that, you have to find your mentor for 2 years and someone that's willing to, you know, show you the ropes. I was lucky to have Rich Caraway and Pam Long at that stage, you know, of my two of the best, you know, in town.
Yeah.
So, not saying that there aren't good appraisers to train other appraisers, but they've made it hard for it to be worth it.
Yeah.
For someone to train another appraiser to go out and then, you know, do it on their own. So I don't like to say training your competition, because I think in the Springfield area, I think the appraiser community is very cohesive and very much of a family, you know, they work together. I don't have that here. Mm. Appraisers aren't unfriendly, but we don't know each other.
Mm. Got it.
Interesting.
And I tried to create a group, you know, so we can, I'm like, we did this in Missouri and it was great. And I was like, you know, so I still really don't know anyone here that does appraisal as compared to, you know, back home.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. Mm. Stacy, what is obtaining insurance like in Florida? So here in the Midwest, our prices are skyrocketing. I'm certain it's that way around the United States, but we often hear, you know, Florida insurance market's terrible. From an agent or an appraisal perspective, what do you see there?
I mean, it is expensive. It's expensive, and it is likely keeping some people from buying property, because that's factored in right along with an interest rate.
Yep.
So it's part of your payment. You know, if you're getting a mortgage and, you know, you're paying interest, you're also have an escrow account with your insurance. So that lumps right in there to your, you know, your ratio of what you can do. So it definitely changes what people can buy and how much they can buy. But I think it's like everything else. It's another thing that will correct itself and it will level out. So we had a couple hurricanes and, you know, not here, but it still affects us.
Sure.
And it gets a little wild westy on that end. But I think it's improving and getting better. It has to. It can't not get better. So you've got to have a good roof. You've got to have a newer AC unit and hot water heater, things like that. Our condensers don't last long in salt air. You know, the roofs, that's a big sticky point, you know?
Yeah.
So we'll see that 10 years old or less.
Yeah. We're experiencing something similar here. So, you know, in Missouri, a 30-year roof that goes on your house really might last 15 to 20, 25 years, somewhere in that window probably. And that's just maybe on average. Well, we're seeing insurance companies not want to insure if they're over 10 years old. Mm-hmm. So that 15-year mark, I have had insurance companies deny me coverage because one of my roofs is over 15 years old. So I think that's probably just nationwide, insurance company-wide, we're getting more picky about the age of things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 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 I mean, you know, having to take off a perfectly good 15-year-old roof.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's fine,
you know, but that's what they want. Everyone's protecting themselves. And I think when other things are less volatile, you know, economically, then some of that stuff will, you know, it's like, there's some give and take that can be made. And right now everyone's feeling squeaky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Including, you know, the insurance companies and all of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Angie, do you have any more questions about real estate? Cause I want to ask some personal questions.
Yeah. No, let's go.
Okay. Well, I mean, you know about these, but what I mean by personal is you moved to Florida, as you said, in 22.
Yeah.
And we love to hear about people and or have stories told by our guests of living authentically. Mm-hmm. And Stacy, you and I have known each other for several years now. And I knew you were moving to 30A area. And we've remained friends and talked to each other multiple times. Tell us about living authentically. Tell us about, from your perspective and your eyes and your life experience now, you're going on your third year. Mm-hmm. What has it been like to pick up and move your life and your business to a different state and to have to make new friends and set up a new business. And you know, your family, some of them still live here. Mm-hmm. Tell us what it's been
Everybody's still there.
Yeah.
We could do a whole podcast.
Yes, you're right. Yeah.
And if you, if you ever want to, I would love to, because I get really excited about it. I'm still discovering, like I'm still in the process of discovering that, because what I've learned is there's a lot of iterations of this, you know, mm-hmm. And how it all unfolds. And so I'm in a new transition of it, I feel like right now. But what I always think about is that my mom, when she was around my age, maybe a little younger, she wanted to move down here. She loved it here. She loved mm-hmm. the beach. She loved this area. She wanted to do it. I'm like, oh, mom, that would be so great. And she said, yes, but I would have to start over in business. I would have to get new clients. I just don't know. And I'm like, oh, it would be so exciting. And I know you love it. And what I could see as a daughter was a really happy mom.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted her to go. Like, I was like, that would be so awesome. And then we could come and see you and it's just going to be so great. And then, but yes, it's Florida, but I don't think it would have mattered where it was, because I knew she wanted to do it. I knew she had like this, I describe it as the phone was ringing and she just couldn't pick it up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. She just couldn't pick it up. And when the phone's ringing, if you remember when phones were attached to cords,
yes.
you could take them off the hook, you know, mm-hmm. that would stop mm-hmm. the ringing, you know, you could put a pillow over it or, you know, whatever. Otherwise it was going to ring and it was going to be really annoying. And somebody mm-hmm. in the background was going to be going, are you going to get that? You
know? Right. Mm-hmm.
So the phone was ringing. She didn't pick it up. And looking back, I felt like that was the beginning of her dissatisfaction in life, you know, mm-hmm. and the way I'd like to describe that is, I mean, that was for her. It was about her, and it's a desire that she had that she didn't act on. And we all have the choice whether we do mm-hmm. or not. Sometimes the timing's right. Sometimes it isn't. But the thing with her is the timing was right and she chose not to do it. She didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So when it was my turn, and I've always wanted to come, I've always wanted to experience this climate. I've got some unfinished business with the beach,
you know? Mm-hmm, yeah.
And I'm like, this is my time. I don't have grandchildren. My mom had passed in 21. And so exactly a year later I was here and I'm like, well, the window's open. I'm going to go while it's open because it will close.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a limit, you know, on your, that window. So, I decided to go for it. And there were times that felt terrifying, and I don't know mm-hmm. why, because before I had children, I was always a bit of a gypsy. I liked moving around and I don't mind to travel alone. None of that bothers me, but this was different, but I did it anyway. But it required a lot of letting go of personal items, the house I raised my kids in,
mm-hmm.
Knowing I was going to miss out on some things with them. Also knowing that I was going to have experiences with them that I wouldn't have if I didn't move.
True.
Mm-hmm. It was that, you know, it balances out. All change involves loss.
Yeah.
It just does. And I think you just have to be brave enough and not have your glasses too rosy to think that it's not going to feel somewhat terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, what is more terrifying is not knowing.
Yeah. In our conversation recently, we talked a lot about your move, and we both agreed on that if you never did it, you would always wonder.
Mm-hmm.
And your mom probably did. She mm-hmm. always wondered. And you can always come back. That's the beauty of it.
Mm-hmm.
You can always decide on a certain day and a certain year, it's time to go home,
mm-hmm.
you know? So I commend you for doing it. I commend you for, you know, living your dreams mm-hmm. because so many people have way too many obstacles in the way to be able to do that.
And let fear stop them.
Yes.
They just do. Fear. Yeah. Yeah.
The obstacles aren't as big as they think they are.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. It's like the shadow, the little, you know, the little hand shadows that you can make and it looks like it's a big monster on the wall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's how it is. The obstacles aren't as big as you think. And many people said, well, what if you don't like it? Like, well, I'll move back. Yeah. Or I'll move somewhere else.
Yeah.
Oh, you're so lucky you found your perfect spot. No, it's not the perfect spot. It's a spot that has some aspects of some things that I want to experience. I don't know if it's my final destination or not.
Sure.
What I did know for sure is that if I came back, I would come back different.
Yeah.
Because you can't unexperience it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're so right. If I decided to come back to Missouri and be grandma and, you know, have enjoyed that season of my life.
Yes.
I would be different than had I never left.
Yes.
There are so many things that, and it's not even where you go or how long you stay there. It's who you become in the doing of it, in the following through of it. And so I never thought that it would ever fail, because if I got here in 30 days into it, I decided I would make a mistake. That would be fine too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're right.
Yeah. Yeah. And
just the process of selling personal belongings, of releasing things that no longer served me, all of that, that in and of itself was worth it. If I came down here, slept a few nights and came back, I would have grown as a person. And the questions I asked myself, would I buy this again? You know, it was really hard to sell the house. I have a lot of things there. I knew that my kids would love for have me to stay there so they could come there on Sunday for 2 hours.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But, right. You know, when I bought the house, I bought it for us. Well, now I'm me.
Yeah.
So if I was me buying a house right now, would I buy this house in this location?
Mm-hmm.
The answer was no. No, I wouldn't buy it again. It's like cleaning out your closet and you look at clothes that are perfectly good and whatever. Yeah. But would I buy this today? If I walked into a store, would I buy this top?
Yeah.
If the answer is no, donate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's okay to purge.
Yeah.
It's okay to purge and it's okay to change your mind and it's okay to evolve and be different and tell a different story today than you did last year or 10 years ago or yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, it's all part of the like moving forward and living authentically. I would say that can be done anywhere you live. You know,
sure.
You don't have to move to do that. But the beautiful thing about moving is that you do get a clean slate. It is white. It is white and it's blank. And then you can use different colors.
Yeah.
Or you can pick up the same colors that you used before you moved. And you're going to end up with the same scene.
Yeah.
Just in a different location. And that means the people you spend your time with, the conversations you're having, the experiences you're having, you know, things you're saying no to or yes to. And I've learned a lot about that here. There, I have some repeating patterns here that I'm like, oh, that's a repeating pattern. I could see that. I didn't let that go. Moving didn't change anything. It doesn't. But a lot of things did change because it does give you the pattern interrupt of life and the space. And if you take advantage of that time frame before you go back to the old paint colors, then you really can make some changes and alterations to yourself and to your life that are significant and can have a big impact.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter whether it's moving, whether it's starting a podcast, whether it's starting a new business. Yeah. It doesn't matter. Any of those things are big, scary things. The thing is that we let the obstacles stand in the way and don't think as much about the opportunities. And if we did, we would see, you know, such a bigger picture, and it would be a lot less scary if we really focused on the opportunity versus the obstacle.
Yeah. Obstacles are good.
So true.
Good excuse to, you know, not do the scary thing.
Right. Put.
Right.
Yeah. Right. To stay where you are. And you can always come back. You can always come back. It's an experience. And it's an experience. It's like, I also ask myself, okay, if this doesn't work out and I'm having my final breath, would I regret doing it? Absolutely not.
Yeah.
If it doesn't work out, would I regret doing it? No, I would not regret giving it a shot, trying it out. You know, and you know, you go to the buffet, you're not going to have fried chicken every single time.
Yeah.
Maybe some people do. Same thing, same plate, same green beans. I don't know. I think life is meant to be enjoyed and as much as we can. And we don't nearly reach our potential for that of what's available, but
I agree.
We're taking some swings at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
And
thanks,
and
awesome.
Live vicarious through you. When I see some of your posts on social media, I'm like, dang it, girl.
Mm-hmm.
You're living your best life.
Yeah.
I love it. I'm proud of you guys for what you've done with this podcast.
And thank you.
I was telling you that, like, on that phone call, it's like, I'm really impressed that you guys show up consistently, like, over, I don't know how many podcasts you've racked up by now, but it's a lot.
Yes. It's a lot. We just celebrated our 2-year anniversary and we've dropped a podcast every week since we started. So it's a lot.
Yeah.
That consistency and doing that over and over again is a lot. And what happens behind the scenes that no one else knows about, and the work you put in to preparing, it's not just one conversation on the air. There's much more. And like I said before, it's a little bit like a real estate transaction.
Yeah.
But you guys,
it is.
You make podcasting look easy. And
well, thank you.
I know that you make real estate look easy too for the people that you serve.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Stacey.
Yeah.
What a great conversation we've had today.
Yes. We appreciate you being willing to talk and miss seeing your face in person, but I always know where to find you.
Yes.
Well, I'll be back soon. I don't know when. Maybe next month, but I'm ready for a visit.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Now that winter's over.
Yes.
There you go.
Yeah. It's going to get nice and hot.
Yeah. Well, thank you again. Thank you for listening. We appreciate the time that you spend with us. And we hope that you will share this episode with anyone who needs to know about appraisals or real estate in another area or just making a life change.
Yeah. Thanks for listening, guys. Make sure you share it with a friend and we'll catch you next time.
See ya.
Bye-bye. Find today's full video by searching the Simply Authentic Podcast on YouTube. Hit subscribe, and there you will find full videos of every episode.